Hey everybody, welcome to this brand new episode of Digital Drift. My name is Francis and this is episode 15. And today we'll be talking about a brand new topic, something that every tech startup really needs. We're talking about PR for tech startups. How do tech startups in Nigeria get the right PR? I think some days over a radar, people were complaining that there were a number of startups who were just going to die because they felt they didn't get the right PR. And we have the best person really to talk about this in the house today. We have Jessica Hope of Winback.com. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Francis. Nice to speak to you.
Nice to connect with you. Last year, someone came to me and said, look, hey, who's responsible for all this fantastic PR Iroko is having? I mean, Iroko is everywhere, literally, on Forbes and on CNN, on BBC, you know, and locally too, they're well covered in the press. And I was like, it's Jessica. And I'm like, wow, okay. I need to know that lady.
I'm blushing.
So it's nice having you on the show. Usually we meet people who are, you know, shaping Nigeria's tech space one way or the other. It would be nice to give us a bit of background of yourself and how you got into PR in the first place.
Okay, so I have been working in PR for about 8 years now. I started off in Manchester working for an agency, and then I moved down to London. About 4 or 5 years ago, I got my dream job. At the time, I worked at the Natural History Museum in the press office, and that was brilliant, actually. Really enjoyed myself there, and I loved a lot. Jewish Museum in London. And I worked there for a while as well. I've known Jason for a really long time, about 8 years, 8 or 9 years, I think. So when he received his first round of funding, he all of a sudden started getting a lot of inbound press inquiries. So he asked me to join the team at Iroko. And it just sounded really exciting what he was doing. So I quit my job at the Jewish Museum and joined Iroko.
So that's like first, you know, experience in this tech startup. I mean, it's a big jump, you know, from the museum where things are a bit kind of slow, I assume, right? So, you know, that takes out of that everything's like fast-paced.
Exactly. Almost too slow. So I actually really enjoyed upping the pace a little bit, you know, working with Jason and Bastian and really just getting things done very quickly. As everyone knows who works in a startup, you have to just move very, very quickly and you just have to get things done. And you also have to be a little bit of a jack of all trades. You know, you can't just say, oh, that's not my job. That's not this. I can't do this. Yeah. You just have to always figure out a way of getting it done if you want your startup to survive. And in the early days with all startups, it's all about survival. So it was great because it just meant that I had a lot of new opportunities to do lots of different things, actually. So it wasn't just press. I got involved about the film industry, learn a lot, as well as sort of give quite a lot, I think, as well.
So here you are, and, you know, Iroko just raised a lot of money, and, you know, Jason's been bogged down with all these inbounds. Could you, like, I mean, you've talked about, you know, working in a startup, how really it's all about execution and all that. Could you, like, share how it is, like, managing PR for Iroko? At least at the early stages, and maybe what has changed now?
Okay, so I think one of the main areas was that what Iroko was doing was interesting. It was newsworthy. It was something quite unique. Western journalists aren't that interested yet in African tech startups, or not most of them. There are a few who do take an interest. But the good thing about Iroko is that it had been coined by CNN as the Netflix of Africa. And for a journalist, that's quite interesting. That's quite compelling. They get what they're doing. So that really, really helped. We spent a lot of time connecting with journalists. But even still in the early days, if I tried to ever pitch or, you know, cold call, I heard a lot of negative people saying, okay, yeah, Nigerian internet company. Where's the fraud? Where do I send my money? And we had to battle quite a lot of jokes just to validate, really, not just Iroko, but I would say the Nigerian tech space at that time. This was maybe 4 years ago. So we had a lot of hurdles. So whilst we did have some inbound requests, it wasn't from every single media outlet in the world. And we still had to hustle very, very hard. And a lot of that was me making phone calls, making relationships with journalists, connecting with them on Twitter, on LinkedIn. But it was also, you know, Jason went to a lot of events around the world, and that definitely helped because he just met journalists face to face. And often that's the best way, meeting journalists face to face. And then I could, you know, follow up with their queries afterwards.
Interesting. Wimpad has a number of other clients. Did you just take what you did for Iroko and you're doing it for other startups now?
No, I mean, that's the trouble really, is that Iroko is just, I mean, I've worked for Iroko for so long. It's sort of an extension of me in a lot of ways. And they already have quite a lot of momentum in the press. So that makes a difference. Some of the other startups that I've worked with, they're still at that early stage. So they're starting to engage more with local media first before going further into international media. But, you know, if they're nice guys with a good, strong story and some data and some funding behind them, there's often something that we can do. Probably, you know, the most recent new client I worked with is the guys at Printivo. Now, what they're doing is brilliant. They are literally changing the printing industry, working with SMEs and larger companies to really just improve print quality items. And they're using local designers as well. And we managed to actually get them in TechCrunch, which was big for them, once they secured their first round of funding from Echo VC. But each company is definitely different. And I've spent a little bit of time talking to the company, finding out what they're looking to achieve, asking them why they're looking to achieve it as well. But I have to say, I'm also known for being quite honest with clients, in terms of I don't take on everyone who approaches me, because not everyone is going to get into TechCrunch.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at TechCrunch, they hardly cover any African startups. So you either have to have a really, really compelling story or have a lot of money behind you.
Okay, so the story is important, right? Because most startups, maybe they don't carry that, they don't have the checkbook open all the time. I mean, how do you like tell the difference? You mean, you said right now you're like upfront with tech startups. How do you tell the difference? Okay, somebody, you know, gets in contact and say, hey, I have this fantastic idea, at least subjectively to, you know, the founder or to the team, they have something that they think it's newsworthy.
Mm.
And just to mention, I've talked to a lot of people who think, for whatever reason, that I'm associated with Tech Cabal, because I write a number of posts there, and they always come and say, hey, I mean, why is Tech Cabal not carrying my story? I mean, my story is fantastic. I wrote a very fantastic story. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't work with Tech Cabal, but just, you know, send it over. Maybe I'll have a look at it. And I look at it, I'm like, okay, so how did you want them to get, you know, print this stuff? It's still, you know, way far from the finished product.
Yeah, I mean, I do try and be sensitive, because I think that when you're starting your own company, your own business, tech startup or whatever type of commerce it is, Everything you do is important to you. So everything you do, from your business plan to your hiring to your social media to your point of sale, anything like that is important, but it's important to you. But that's just business. So when you're trying to get press, you have to find out what are you doing that's above and beyond. What's the elevated pitch? But it's very difficult to say to someone, so what? But that is the brutal reality. And it's not just African tech startups, it's any PR story. The first thing a journalist will ask themselves is, so what? So that's something that people have to think about when they're trying to construct a story. A little while ago, I took a call from a company that I can't remember their name, and I don't think I'll share it, but they're an e-commerce startup. And they dropped me an email saying, hi, Jessica, we would love to take on your services. We're an e-commerce startup and we just want a little bit of international press. And that was it. So when we had the call, I said, okay, so what are you doing? And they said, oh, we're selling all sorts of things online. Okay. Are you Jumia or Conga? Okay. No. Okay. Have you raised any money? No. Are you selling anything specific, you know, something niche or interesting or exciting online? No. So they're not going to get international press because what they're doing is not that compelling, especially as there is a lot of people starting up e-commerce startups in the Nigerian tech scene now.
Is it a case of where the story has to fit a narrative? The narrative is, okay, Africa is rising and up. Do you have like outliers that just break out of the narrative and do something, makes the press people say, hey, wait, let's pay attention to this. This is different. It's not what we're used to. It's not the current trend. But do you have like people like that or startups like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that those are the people who are doing something different are the ones who are going to attract attention. So again, Iroko, they were doing something different 5 years ago. Well, they still are, but what they were doing was genuinely unique then. Printivo, those guys are really doing something unique as well. Trying to think of some other, you know, Konga and Jumia, you know, they're huge, huge. That of course they're going to attract international press as well because they really are multi-million dollar companies and they are making huge strides in an emerging market as well. So I think those are the type of companies that will continue to do well. Another company I would say is Hotels NG. You know, they're doing something unique as well. And again, for international journalists, if you kind of say, right, well, they're kind of like a hotels.com, but for Nigeria, that means an international journalist will get it. But then when you start talking about how they're different to, you know, the Western models of hotel booking sites, and they're actually providing local solutions for, you know, a local market, then that's when the story becomes a little bit more compelling for a journalist.
The story is important. It's very key that you have a good story around whatever you're doing, because there are a lot of million and one things you still have to do in a startup, but for PR, that story is very important.
I think it's a mixture of story. If you have data or something like that, that definitely helps. So one of the stories I worked on last year was with the guys who did, so it was Shay, and he did the Ebola Facts website. They turned around the website in 24 hours. I think they built it, and I think they had over a million hits in a week or something.
Yeah.
Now that's just a great story because it was at the time of the really awful Ebola epidemic. So lots of international journalists were covering the story. And here's a great story as well that, you know, a couple of guys, so it's Shay and Bankole, they put together this website very quickly. It got a lot of traction very quickly. That's a great story. And I worked with those guys and I think we got it in Bloomberg and the Guardian and the UK and a few others. And I believe, you know, the Financial Times wrote about it again recently as well. So you have to have a good story, but if you have a good product as well, and if you're working with the news agenda, that's another important aspect as well.
So story, product, how much does the, you know, the personality of the founder also help for PR?
It helps a lot in some respects. It's always a different scenario, but let me go back to the example of Jason and Iroko. Jason has incredible personality and people remember him. So once you've got him in front of a journalist is very unlikely to ever forget him once they've spoken to him. So that's why journalists will come back again and again. So that's part of the relationship building. I think personality does go some way, but saying that, some people, if your product is really fantastic, if what your company is doing is so newsworthy and so incredible, the personality might not be as important. Journalists might just want to get the information. But I think force of personality is really useful. And that's often where, you know, a CEO might come in. That's where a CEO of a company, they're kind of the public face. They're the visionary. They're the energy behind the company. And that will often then go into the press side of things as well. So I would say it's important, but not crucial. I think also, one thing I would like to add is that a lot of people, before they even invest in PR, because it is time and money, they need to think, why are they doing it? Because a lot of the people I've spoken to, they're one of getting TechCrunch, but it's not going to drive sales to their company. And they're not at the stage necessarily that they'll be looking for funding. So I think at that stage, it might just be an ego thing to say, ah, yeah, I was in TechCrunch. And, you know, ego is really important as well, don't get me wrong, but you need to ask yourself why you want to get into TechCrunch, and is it actually going to drive sales? Because in order for your business to thrive, you need to drive sales before you're in the newspapers often.
Okay, so let me ask that question now. I mean, why would any startup want to be on TechCrunch? I know it, there's a good feel factor around it and also like a lot of interest generated. But beyond that, you mentioned it doesn't like drive sales for you. But beyond that, why should tech startups take PR seriously? Let's assume they've taken care of the product, they've taken care of, you know, other things. Why should they invest, you know, in PR if it's not going to move the needle in terms of revenue for them?
In terms of revenue, it might not do. So say, for example, you're a Nigerian startup and your products are only sold in Nigeria. So it doesn't really matter if people in the US or the UK read about you, because they might not be able to actually buy your product. That being said, the importance of TechCrunch is that all the big VCs and investors do read it. And, you know, Iroko secured its investment on the back of getting in TechCrunch. So they, he did a face-to-face interview with Sarah Lacey, who worked for TechCrunch at the time, but now has Pando Daily. She did an article on Jason, published it. Tiger Global read it and contacted Jason. And I think 3, 4, or 5 months later, he closed on the Series A funding of $3 million.
Well, I think Sarah Lacey was here 2010, 11.
About that, yeah, 2010. Yeah. So that's kind of that's a unicorn PR story. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
But again, Tiger Global obviously saw potential and they looked at the figures that Jason was already recording on his YouTube channel. So because he'd actually really concentrated on driving traffic to the website, he already had really good data. And then the PR came. So when a VC actually reached out to him, he was able to deliver the goods and then take the funding round further.
When startups engage you, they need Weebly.com to help them drive PR, should they already have been like building their own stories or like making their own small efforts at PR?
I think I would be surprised if someone came to me and they'd never already tried to engage with the local tech guys. So TechLoyd, Tech Cabal, Enterprise 54, TechPoint, NG, all of those guys. You know, especially if they're based in Lagos, you need to be trying to see these guys face to face and building an early days community, and getting feedback on your business, your story from people who write about it. So I'd be surprised if they hadn't already spoken to those guys, because you have to think local first. You have to make sure that your local ecosystem wants to hear about you before you want to try and get into Forbes, I'd say. In terms of the type of content that I would write, I spend time talking to them and writing up their story. And often it's easier for a third party to write a press release because you're less emotionally involved. And a press release has to be very, very concise, very clear. Journalists have really, really short attention spans. So you have to just make sure you get the facts across and you know, no emotions, no suppositions. So that's often where I would come in terms of helping to draft press materials.
We've been talking about startups and your work. We may be time to talk a little bit more about you, right? So, in terms of PR as a career, how do you see Winbird growing? To be candid, Winbird is the only PR company I know, right? So it was only preparing for this podcast that I actually had to look up, and I found, wow, okay, there are some others even locally here. But, what's the like growth trajectory for someone, you know, in PR?
With my business, with any business, the only limit is yourself. I really believe that. So I had a baby last year. So my growth trajectory has been slower because I've wanted to spend time with my son. However, as he gets older and I'll take on more work, then I'll be more likely to expand the company. So it's up to me really about the pace at which I choose to grow. The opportunities are really, really big. And I have a lot of conversations with people about their PR requirements. and some business I have to turn down because I haven't been able to do it, which is a shame. But I think that there are a few other, you know, strong PR companies working in Nigeria, but often they're much larger international companies. And I think startups probably couldn't afford them. And there are other, you know, there are a few other freelancers as well. So I wouldn't be so bold as to say I'm the only person who's doing it, but I would say that I have, I'm known for a niche of African tech specifically. So I do have plans to probably grow Q1, Q2 this year, maybe take somebody on, and yeah, take on more clients as well, because I'm in a fortunate position at the moment that my new business is pretty much inbound. And with everything, you're only as good as your last PR campaign. So if people see my work, then they're more likely to come to me and want to do something, want to work together. So I have to make sure that I keep working really hard so each client gets great results as well.
I like that. You know, as your last PR campaign. Do you have any memorable ones that, like, you'd like to, like, share how, you know, that built up to your success? Any memorable PR campaigns?
I mean, for me, I think just the one that I've done this week with Irocco, the $19 million raise.
Yeah.
The press for that has been almost overwhelming. I mean, it's a big number, $19 million for content and capital deal. But we managed to, you know, get into TechCrunch, a couple of articles in Forbes. We were in Newsweek as well. So we've managed to open doors with some new journalists. I think we were on the Dow Jones Wire, a few other bits and bobs. Jason has done an interview and we'll be on BBC World Service tomorrow as well on the flagship tech radio show. So I think that's probably, you know, so far the best campaign. And I'm sure, you know, the next campaign we'll try for a little bit more, because each campaign, each press push, you usually develop relationships with new journalists and new publications. And then once you have those relationships, you have to manage them really, really carefully. So, you know, it's finding a balance between keeping journalists up to date with what the company's doing, but at the same time, not spamming them. So I think, yeah, so I think that last one. And also I have to say the work that I did straight, you know, soon after I started Wimbart, getting both hotels, NG and Printivo into TechCrunch in the last year, I was really, really proud of as well. The, you know, whilst I say that, you know, people shouldn't just want to get into TechCrunch, or they have to ask themselves why they want PR, at the same time, TechCrunch is hugely influential and has great reach. So for me, it always feels like a personal triumph when I manage to get a client into TechCrunch, because I have to work really, really hard, and seeing the rewards is brilliant.
I was going to say it sounds like hard work, but really, I feel it's hard work already from here. It's a lot of work.
I think it's a lot of work, but in a good way. And I think, you know, with any PR professional and anyone looking to sort of move into the sector, I would say that it's what you make of it. So if you upset journalists, or if you spam them, or if you write bad copy, or if you don't meet their deadlines, or all those things, you're just making life much, much harder for yourself. So I've spent the last 3 or 4 years developing good relationships with some key journalists. I always respond really quickly. I try and find out the information that they need quickly. And so that makes my job a little bit easier, because it means they open my emails. You know, that's the first thing often. You've got to get through an email with a journalist. But it is hard work, and I think each company is different. And I would say probably one of the areas that I wouldn't say I regret, but I think with Irocco and with Jason, we almost made it look a bit too easy. I think people think that you just call up the Wall Street Journal and you just mention the words Irocco and they're going to write a feature. That's not the case. We have to, you know, go with a great story. And we do get turned down for stories sometimes when I've pitched. So I think a lot of people see Jason and see the success that Jason and Irocco have in terms of PR. And they just assume that that would be replicated for them overnight, and that's never going to be the case. You know, it's taken 3 or 4 years of really, really, really hard work. And at times, you know, when Jason's had to be working on 20 other things, closing deals, dealing with offices, traveling around the world, he has had to go that extra mile to jump on the call with a journalist to make sure he has 10 minutes to go to a TV studio. He's had to go out of his day-to-day work life to go and do those media things. So I think that the perception is that it's all very shiny and very easy, but actually you don't sort of see the hard work that goes on to sort of secure the really, really big media wins.
Wow. This is real stuff. Okay. Do you think, like, for tech startups, they will eventually grow and they'll be like, have like their own in-house PR teams? Does any tech startup need that?
No, not a small one, I don't think. It depends. If they just do PR, then you probably don't need someone doing just full-time PR. But if you manage to find someone who can do your social media, they can work on the marketing side of things as well, maybe growth hacking in terms of video content, other areas, then perhaps a full-time person is of use. Because I think once you're in-house as well, that person becomes really embedded in the company, which is a good thing. And, you know, they can talk very, you know, very, very lucidly about companies, and they grow with the company as well. So I think that a really small tech startup doesn't need just a full-time PR person. But if they are doing other areas of marketing, such as Facebook ads, Twitter, Instagram, all of those things, then it could be something to consider as well. But I think that any kind of tech startup who are considering taking someone on in-house full-time would probably just also need to make sure that that person's work is measured, so they can ensure that all of the press marketing activities they're doing is actually helping to drive sales, drive growth.
I'm just trying to put together everything you've said here, and it's really a lot of work. And like you mentioned, many people don't get that impression, because one thing that's clear, just connecting the dots now. I mean, for instance, Jason, you know, CEO of any, you know, successful tech company like that would have to actually, you know, it's like a separate work schedule for them to be available for PR.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an additional layer of work for people. And especially, you know, the really big guys, if TechCrunch say they're going to call you in 10 minutes, you need to be available in 10 minutes. and that's just a reality, especially as, you know, if you look at TechCrunch, they have 2 correspondents for Asia. They don't have any correspondents for Africa.
I think that's going to change, right?
I think it's going to change very soon, but up until now, they really haven't. So that's just why it's, you have to understand the hurdles and barriers of getting tech startups into international media. Even really, really huge companies, like, or if you look at someone like Naspers, a huge, 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 huge South African conglomerate. They're actually not in the international press that much. And when they invest, you know, you're talking tens of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Are you like strictly focused on tech, or do you look at other sectors?
At the moment, I've only been, you know, all of my inbound new business has mostly been tech, a little bit of entertainment as well, probably again because of my work with Iroko. But that's the work that I've undertaken most recently. I'm just trying to think if I had any other ones. You know, in the UK, I was maybe speaking to some people about some art projects, but I think it's actually quite good to just build a niche as well.
At least you get known for the go-to person, you know, if I want tech press, for instance.
I think so. And I think it's very easy to spread yourself very thinly, but actually in this market, I think it's kind of good to just sort of go narrow and deep, because then you're really sort of honing your skills as well and refining what you can offer.
I think we've, you know, covered a lot of ground with respect to PR and PR for tech startups. But do you have like a summary of like 3, 4, 5 points you want people to remember?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would just always say that people need to, you know, really, really think about their PR strategy in terms of what they're trying to achieve and who they're trying to engage. And then really, really focus on going local first. because almost see it as like a case study. So if you go to Tech Cabal, Techloy, Enterprise 54, VentureBurn, any of the other guys, and none of those guys is interested in your story, you might struggle to get into TechCrunch, Mashable, VentureBurn. Because if your local guys are telling you, look, this is not really that newsworthy, then you need to listen to them because they really, really do know. And all of those guys, those tech blogs, they're willing. They want people to do well. They want to tell great stories. They really, really, really want to promote what's awesome in the Nigerian tech scene. So I think about your local strategy first, and then think, you know, why you want international PR. Who's it going to help? I would also suggest that people just try and meet journalists face to face if possible. And when you do, have your pitch straight, have it very, very clear, know how to sort of grab people's attention really, really quickly. Cause, you know, journalists have hardly any time. So they need to understand what you're doing in, you know, in just a few seconds. And I think that when you're talking about it, your company, you have to show passion, show interest, and you have to be aware of your USP as well as aware of competitors. So you know how to sort of differentiate yourself from other people. And then I think, yeah, you just have to make sure that you're willing to put the work in, and make allowances for the PR person and sort of work with them to get the best out of any campaign.
Very good. So, you are on Twitter?
It is at Wimbart Hope.
Okay, at Wimbart Hope. So I'm sure that many of the tech startups here, I mean, once they've, you know, done their homework, they'll be reaching out to you, Jessica.
They're more than welcome, and I'm always happy to answer just questions as well. I'm always happy.
Thanks a lot for coming on the show, Jessica.
Thank you for having me, Francis.